Today we're talking about a heart after God. A heart after God. We use the word heart all the time in everyday language. You know, we might say that someone is good at heart, or we learn things by heart, or, you know, if you're kind of teasing around with somebody, you might say, oh, come on, have a heart. When we set goals, we set our hearts on it. Or when we're serious about something, we'll take it to heart. Or when we're really committed to something, we'll put our whole heart into it. And so we're familiar with the use of the word heart. It's not just this pump in our body, but it really is the center of our being. It just encapsulates who we really are, our heart, the things we desire, and how we look at things. Now, the scripture talks about the heart in several places. 1 Samuel 16:7 says that man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so often we are easily swayed by how somebody appears, right? You know, you see somebody in a suit and a tie, it gives you a certain impression. You see somebody else with long, scraggly hair and tattoos, it gives you an impression. You know, I'm not judging anybody, but it makes an impression, right? But God looks at the heart, because the outside can fool you sometimes. You know, for instance, since we're having the Sing, Pledge, Pray movie here on Saturday, is the bikers. You know, a lot of times their appearance looks pretty rough, pretty tough. But a lot of those guys are the nicest, gentlest people you'll ever meet. You know, God looks at the heart. He knows what's really in the heart. Matthew 6:21 speaks of the heart. And Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, your heart follows your money. We often think it's the other way, that we put our money towards things that our hearts are in, and sometimes we do. But Jesus says, wherever you put your money, your heart's going to go there too. And so what does that say about you? Where is your treasure? And then Matthew 12:34 says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So words reveal what's in your heart. Again, what does that reveal about you? If your words reveal your heart. We want to have hearts after God. It's in Acts 32 where it's kind of referring back to the Old Testament, and God says, I have found David, a man after my own heart. David was the guy that God looked at and said, he's got a heart like mine. A man after my own heart. David had a heart after God. You know, when he faced Goliath the giant, he ran to the battle. He was going to take down this giant who had ridiculed God. When he was confronted with his sin, David repented immediately and vigorously. And so he showed his heart. And then he wrote many of the Psalms. So he loved the Lord, and he wrote these songs of praise and worship. And it reveals his heart. He loved the Lord. He had a heart after God. Now, Chuck Swindoll wrote this about David. He says, you know, David was a bit of a paradox. You know, he slew Goliath with the fling of a stone, but he was wounded by the lust of his own wandering eyes. He soothed Saul's spirit with soft strains on the harp, but he exploded in anger at Nabal. He gave Jonathan's crippled son, Mephibosheth, grace, a seat at his royal table, but he ignored the needs of his own children. He hid from God after his affair with Bathsheba, but he knew how to draw near. And so we see this paradox of David. How can such an inconsistent man be considered someone after God's own heart? David was inconsistent, and yet God said he has a heart like mine. He's a heart after God, because David had one passion that was greater than all others. He wanted to know and obey the Lord. Inconsistent as he was, stumble as he did, he had this one thing that he just kept coming back to. He wanted to know the Lord more. He wanted to serve the Lord better. And so now we come to Psalms 42. I'd like to read verses 1 through 5, and then we'll talk about them. Would you please stand? I think this will sound familiar to you. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. You may be seated. Let's talk about this heart after God. A heart after God craves God's presence. That's the first thought. He craves God's presence. Sometimes I get a craving. How about you? I crave Mountain Dew sometimes. I don't know what the deal is, but there's something about if I've had bacon for breakfast, a couple hours later, I need a Mountain Dew. I don't know why that is. It just is. And we all know what cravings are. Sometimes I work out in the yard, and if it's a hot day and I'm working hard, I might be starving by the time I come in. I have to eat something. I'm craving whatever. And, of course, the most cliche of all time is pregnant women craving their, pickles and ice cream or, weird stuff. Anyway, we all understand what a craving is, but a heart after God craves God's presence. He talks here about the deer panting for streams of water. And so just imagine a deer running from a hunter. Maybe a pack of wolves is chasing a deer. An insatiable thirst will develop after a long chase. How about you? Have you ever had an intense thirst, especially on a hot day? I need a drink so bad. I'm so dried out. In fact, there are times when you might be so dried out and so thirsty that you just want to jump into the water. Ever feel like that? Well, I wonder if we desire God like that. You see, I think the hunter here might be like the devil or simply some troubles we face. And so do we run towards God or do we look for some other way to find relief? And the streams of water, I believe, are symbolic of God's presence. We should desire to be in it, like being powerfully thirsty on a hot summer day. A tall glass of lemonade or a giant bottle of water when you've been out there sweating and working hard. That's so refreshing. That's how our heart should be towards God, craving his presence. And if we're not craving him, perhaps we need to start simply with a realization of how dried out we really are. Or perhaps you're drinking in other things trying to satisfy your thirst. You know what I'm talking about. There's this inner desire in all of us. The donut man called it the hole in the middle of your heart. We all have it. There's just something inside of mankind that can't be satisfied with anything but the Lord, but we'll try to satisfy it with all kinds of other things. Right? I mean, you name it. Any addiction in the world is really trying to satisfy that inner hunger that only God can satisfy. That's really what it is. We all have it. And sometimes, even Christians, we try to fill that void with other things. Now, there are some scripture verses that talk about hunger and thirst that might be interesting for us today. Psalm 107, verse 9. Says that God satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Proverbs 27, verse 7 says, he who is full loathes honey, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. You see, if you're really hungry, Doesn't matter what it tastes like, just give me something to eat. So how does your attitude compare to that verse? Are you full so that the really good stuff, it's what, you know what I'm saying? You're so full of other junk that when you really come to the presence of God, it's like, Or are you hungry? Scripture also identifies another things that we might be filled with instead of the presence of God. Ecclesiastes 8:11 talks about being filled with schemes to do wrong. Isaiah 41:23, we might be filled with fear. Daniel 11:12, we can be filled with pride. Habakkuk 2:16 says we can be filled with shame. And Matthew 17:23 says we can be filled with grief. There's a lot of things that we can get filled up on that really aren't God's plan for us. Instead, I want to be like Stephen in Acts chapter 6. Stephen was a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. He was a man full of God's grace and power. You see, there's different things we can be filled up on, but we need to follow the scripture. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Let's get filled up on the Spirit. So we need a craving for the things of God. If you're full of other junk, you won't be very hungry for the things of God. And so you can even put it upside down. If you're not very hungry for the things of God, perhaps it's because you're too full of other junk. Okay? I've said it before, and I think today would be another good day to say it. We had a great time of worship this morning. And if you didn't experience the presence of God, if you didn't feel something, it's your own fault. Maybe you're filled up on some other junk. Just something to think about. Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. See, if we have the right kind of hunger and thirst, God wants to satisfy it. And so let's crave God's presence. A heart after God craves his presence. And then secondly, a heart after God considers the past. Here in Psalm 42, the psalmist begins to remember how things used to be. And so he's kind of reflecting on the past. Right now, as he's writing these words, he's kind of feeling down, discouraged, like, where's the Lord? But he starts to reflect back. He starts to remember the way things used to be. So he's considering the past and how he used to go with others to the house of God. And not only that, but he was at the head of the line leading the others in. In other words, he was the first one through the doors. And it even seems that he had been very expressive and festive in those old days. When he had the opportunity to go into the house of God and worship, he was at the front of the line and he was giving it all he got. And he's remembering that. And those things are now beginning to inspire him for a fresh experience today. We also need to stop sometimes and remember those positive past experiences, things God has done in our life. We all have a story, don't we? How many here are saved? Changed your life, right? You've seen some healings, perhaps experienced the healing yourself. Or you've experienced an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Or you've at least been around it when other people are being powerfully moved by the Holy Spirit. For youth, a lot of times it's Bible camp or breakaway where you just really something powerful happened in the spiritual realm and you were moved by God. We need to occasionally just reflect back on those things and consider what God has done in the past and let those things inspire us for today. In fact, as the psalmist considers the past, it prompts his actions in the present. In Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, Jesus is speaking to the church and he says, you have forsaken your first love. And then he says, remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Even the Lord Jesus Christ says there's a time and a place to remember the way things used to be. Look back. Remember how God worked in your life before? Remember that time when you were all fired up about the things of God? Do you remember? And then he says, do what you were doing back then. You know, you could apply it to a marriage. You know, when you're in the early stages of romance, everything flows pretty easily, doesn't it? Right? Oh, yeah. Got my honey on my mind all the time. What can I do for my sweetheart? You know, it just oozes out of you, right? And then after a while, that kind of settles down some, right? I'm not trying to put anybody down. I'm just talking about the realities of life. Yes? Okay? Tends to settle down. But you can fire it back up. Can I get a witness? People who have been married a little longer, you can fire it back up, can't you? Yes, you can. And what do? You do some of the things you did at first. Those romantic things that came so easily when you were first courting each other, you go back and do those, and guess what? It'll put a fire back in your marriage. All right, now spiritually, sometimes we need to just simply do the things we did at first. When we first came to the Lord and experienced his transforming power, how much we loved him and we poured our hearts out to him and we worshiped him and we were at the front, we were leading everybody else, we were setting the example. Well, guess what? If you've mellowed out a little bit, maybe you need to get back to that stuff. Now, church, you can't live in the past. But maybe you need to do some of the things you used to do when you experienced God's presence in a powerful way. And those things should cause a stirring in our hearts. And the psalmist pours out his soul, and he's seeking God. In Jeremiah 29:13, God himself says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Okay? How do you find that lost credit card or those lost keys? Okay, ask Jesus where they are, but if he doesn't give you an immediate answer, you're digging deep, aren't you? You're flipping pillows, you're looking under the couch. You're digging in. You're going to find it. It's not just kind of, well, I don't see my credit card. I guess it's lost forever. No. Come on. You're going to be going, I mean, what's under that tray there? Maybe it's there. You understand the difference? When our kids were young, I'd play hide and seek with them. And if we didn't set a time limit, it would go on forever. I was a really good hider. And they would not give up. And, you know, a lot of times they would find me, but there were times they wouldn't find me, and we'd finally, mom would just have to say, okay, time's up, kids go in the other room, and then I could come out. We need to be like those kids seeking after God. Persistent, not giving up, going after it, looking everywhere. Proverbs 8:17, those who seek me find me. Psalm 34:10, those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And Psalm 24 talks about those who may ascend the hill of the Lord. And it says those with clean hands and pure hearts, those who seek God. And then Psalm 14:2 says this, God looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. In other words, God seeks God seekers. If you're looking for God, he's looking for you. A heart after God considers the past. Remember how the Spirit moved in you before and how you responded and those things you were doing. Let's do those things again. Let's fire it back up. And then a heart after God chooses to pursue and praise. We see that in verse 5. Even though he has been discouraged, the writer here, he preaches himself happy. That's really what he does. He knew what it was to be discouraged, downcast, and disturbed, but he makes a decision to lift himself up and go after God. Sounds a little bit like David in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, where it says, David was greatly distressed. He was greatly distressed. The people were thinking of stoning him. They were so ticked off, they were going to take him out and kill him. So David was kind of distressed. I might be too. Okay? But it says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He picked himself up and he decided to go after God. Here the psalmist says, and he's talking to himself. He says, oh my soul, put your hope in God. Sometimes we need to look in the mirror and say, put your hope in God. Into the mirror. Go after God. We need to, sometimes you got to preach to yourself, people. What kind of hope do we have? Where he says, put your hope in God. Let's reflect on that for a minute. What kind of hope do we have? Colossians 1:27 speaks of our hope of glory. 1 Thessalonians 1:3 mentions our hope in Christ. Titus 1:2 highlights the hope of eternal life. Hebrews 7:19 speaks of a better hope. And 1 Peter 1:3 says it is a living hope. And those are just a few of the scriptures that talk about the hope that we have as believers. In other words, we have a hope that is absolutely sure. Hope that the Bible talks about is not a childish hope or fantasy or wishful thinking. It's something to look forward to with absolute certainty. That's the hope we have. We will see Christ in glory. We will experience eternal life. And so we give God our thanks and our praise. And that's what he says here. Put your hope in God. And he says, for I will yet praise him. You see the sequence of events here? He starts out with, you know, I'm kind of dying here. I'm worn out. I'm downcast, but looks in the mirror and says, put your hope in God. I will yet praise him. Psalm 63, verses 1 through 5 has a similar feel to it, where the psalmist, he's feeling dry and weary, but he decides to praise God anyway. Okay, church, it's a mistake if we wait to feel pumped up before we begin to praise. That's a mistake. You praise anyway, and then you might get pumped up. You see, the kingdom of God works oftentimes exactly opposite of the world. In the world, something great happens, so we get fired up. But in the kingdom, we get fired up and then something great happens. Very often, that's the case. So when you're feeling dry or perhaps even frustrated and angry, you have a choice to make. You can feed the emotion by dwelling on it, or you can feed your soul what it really needs, more of God's presence. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. You need more God's presence? Be thankful. Express some gratitude and praise the Lord. And you'll come into his presence. Psalm 68, verse 4 says, sing to God, sing praise to his name. prepare the way for him who rides through the deserts. When we begin to thank God and praise God, it welcomes his presence. So praise invites God's presence. I can tell you that there are many times when I've been stressed over something, frustrated, discouraged, whatever. And sometimes I'll just come in here and I'll sit down at the piano and begin to play and worship. And you know what happens. You know what happens. I begin to feel better. I get a little bit different perspective. Because instead of focusing on the thing that's frustrating me, I'm now focusing on the Lord. And I experience his presence. And it lifts me. The psalmist here has been downcast, but he puts his hope in God and he chooses to praise him. He makes a decision. I'm going to praise God. See, God is always good. And his plans for you are good. Your future with God is excellent. It literally is out of this world. He deserves our highest praise. Praise soothes the soul and stirs the spirit. And so a heart after God chooses to pursue and praise. Church, we need to have hearts after God. And when you've been away from God and haven't been experiencing his presence, don't spend very much time feeling guilty. Instead, feel hungry. Psalm 27:4 says, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." One thing. And David had one passion above all others, to seek the Lord. And so should we. A heart after God craves his presence, considers the past, but chooses to pursue and praise. Church, let's have hearts after God. Let's have hearts after God. Let's not go after other stuff and focus on other things, but let's go after God and focus on God. Are you with me? All right. Jacob, lead. Lord God, we want to have hearts after you. Lord, help us to come back to the heart of worship, a heart after God. God, we want your presence with us. Lord, we don't want to be focused on what's keeping us down, but we want to see who you are. And Lord, we welcome your presence here. God, we need you. God, we want you. Come and fill us yet again. Help us, Lord, when we are filled up with other junk, to clean some of it out. Clean it out. That we may hunger and thirst for the things of God. Help us, Lord. You've been so gracious to us. We ask for your grace yet again. Help us to have hearts that are hungry for you. Thirst after the things of God. And Lord, we look forward to great days ahead as you make visitation upon us, as you pour out your spirit, as you lead us with your presence. We will follow you. Help us to have hearts after God. Lord, we need you. We love you. Worship you. Jake, will you do the chorus again on that? By you, Lord. Help us to always remember that it's all about you. Now, Lord, I pray that you would lead us by your presence as we leave this place. God, we come together, especially to gather in your presence, but we want to walk in your presence every day, everywhere, all the time. So help us, Lord, in that, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, God's blessings on you. Have a great week with a heart after God.